and ultimately with me as an individual. The first one is Bonim Atem Lashem Elokeichem. We are Bonim. We said the unique features there are that you don't get to choose. We don't choose our offspring, and our offspring doesn't choose us. But nevertheless, that's a relationship that can't be broken. There's nothing you can do to end that relationship. Because your son is your son. So you can have a good relationship, bad relationship. You can, but there's nothing you can do to create a situation where he's not your son. The second relationship we mentioned was that of Rayosi, of a wife, of a spouse. And that we said is you get to choose it. You get to choose. But it's a relationship that can be ended. As Mechachta's Gittin, there's a way to end that relationship. I saw something not long ago. I was trying to remember where I saw it and what I saw, but even after the Gittin, there's still some connection. I can't remember what it was. It was Alachik Nafkamina. That's just a practical, really. That's just practically. You have children, so you can't get rid of each other. The biggest mistake people make when they get divorced, they think they're going to get rid of their spouse. You don't. No, there's something ruchniastic. No, there's something. No, after Gittin, I can get remarried.
No.
I'm saying, after Gittin, there's still some connection that has Alachik ramifications. I can't remember what it was.
Getting remarried.
You can get remarried after get.
Special mitzvah. And then if you marry someone else, you can't marry them.
No, I'm talking about. No, there's still some connection there. There's still, even after the divorce, the connection is never fully broken. I don't know what it was. Okay, after you found it. I don't know where I saw it.
That was probably depressing.
No, it wasn't. It was actually quite inspiring. Okay. Okay, so we're starting now, Perek Hey, we're going to focus on the aspect of Bonim, Mazeh Ben, a very important subject this. Shinu Chachomi Masechtos Afois, Perek Gimel, Choviv Odom Shenivra B'Tzelem. Mishnah in Pirkei Avos tells us that Adam is very choviv, he's very beloved, he's precious, because created yesh mi'ayin b'tzelem. Chiba yaseira, an additional aspect of chiba, of endearment. Noidat lo shenivra b'tzelem. He informs you that you created b'tzelem. Somehow there's an added love in the fact that I tell you that you created b'tzelem. Choviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, Chibe Yaseira Nodata Lo Shenivra B'Tzelem, Shenema Ki B'Tzelem Elokim Oseh Esa Adam. It's very interesting because the Mishnah says Choviv Adam Shenivra B'Tzelem, and he brings a rhyme for the Pasuk Ki B'Tzelem Elokim Oseh Esa Adam. Bara and Oseh are two completely different happenings. Chaviv in Yisrael Shenikron Bonim Lamakom. The Mishnah carries on. Chaviv in Israel, Israel is Choviv. Shenikra Bonim Lamakom, because they are called sons of Hashem. Lamakom, that unique name of Hashem. Chibi Yaseirin Nodatilem, an additional endearment that Hashem has. Nodatilem Shenikra Bonim Lamakom, is he informs them that they are called Bonim Lamakom. Shenema Bonim Atem Lashem Elokei. Possible Vorim. Bonim atem l'Hashem Elokeichem. Harambam, in his Pirush on Pirkei Avos, mefarishes kavanas hamishnah shechibe yaseira yimah shehodeah lo l'kadosh baruch hu shenach tibonah. What's this additional thing that I'm telling you, you're my son? You can say you're very precious to me because you're my son. No, you're even more precious to me because I told you you're my son. What? Says the Rambam like this: Hoda zu mevia otanu la'ain b'mahus v'kesha achiva shel bonim atem l'shem lokeichem. The Rambam says this hoda brings us to understand and investigate and go deeper into the essence of what this relationship and endearment is by the fact that we call bonim atem l'shem lokeichem. Mirnyanimanu la'avin ma'hi ma'loseinu al pnei kol yeshvei tevel shegam ha'im nikro b'tzelem elokim. What is this added, additional aspect I have in my relationship with Hashem that we call Bonim, of everybody else. It's also created B'Tzelem Elokim. That's just Hashem created everything B'Tzelem Elokim. It's not so posh. That's a whole... You have to take out some time here one day to understand what the different shit is in B'Tzelem Elokim are. But whatever that is for now, the Rambam learns that the Yechibah Yeseira Nodat Elohim is that it will arouse you to go and understand the essence of this relationship better. That's what it's referring to. Okay. When Echila Godel came by Neyachas Shemanik Melech Lavodov, the Nesin of Lezroch Herzoy, the Neyachas Shemanik of Nebunoy, we understand of ourselves, it's a very different relationship that exists between a king and his servants, and the giving that he gives to the general citizens of his country, to the relationship he has between his sons. The king is a father, and he has sons. We understand the father has to his son, he's not going to be the same that he has to his avodim and the general populace. The relationship to the king is built on kovod. They have kovod, you're dealing with the king, the ship, yeah. There's a whole bunch of rules and regulations relating to how an eved has to talk to a king and how he relates to him, and he walks into the room and walks out of the room, and what he's wearing when he goes to them. This whole book, this thick. Before you become an eved of the king, you've got to learn, because one slight mistake, it's all for the head. Hafar akala shel kovod ha-melech mechayev misa. He turns around and he walks out. Instead of walking out, backwards, that's it. The guards take his head off. No games, yeah? Even though he's very close to the king, this effort gets closer to the king than anybody. Aval, there's rules. Afilo in the sinus shalom la melech, or askarish shmoy shaloba kolakobin aroi, machayim misa. Saying hello to the melech when you shouldn't, not saying hello when you should, mentioning his name in the wrong way, machayim misa. Kovin amelech machayim his yachsus miyuchedes bemine vedictuk rav. The covenant of the Melech requires an enormous, enormous amount of exactitude in the way you relate to the king. That's understood. More than this, Hayachas Adari ben Melech Levod of Kaim Rak Kol Oid Eved Zeh Mesharis Et Ha'intris Tamlucha. This relationship that the Eved has with the king only lasts as long as the Eved is serving the interests of the kingship. He's now the official, the official shoe polisher. So as long as he's the official shoe polisher, he can come in, he can polish the Melech's shoes.
He can.
You know, he's in Mamish, in the inner chambers of the Melech. He does what he has to do. The Melech is not the shoe polisher anymore. He's nobody, he's a nothing. There's no intrinsic relationship that the king has with the Eved. It's based on the tafkid of the Eved. The Eved gets sick or whatever, he gets replaced with somebody else, and he has no permission to come in and see the king anymore. Yesterday was Mamash sitting this close to the king, pulling his shoes, or cutting his hair, or shaving him even with a blade. And tomorrow, if he's trying to get into the palace, they'd kill him. Because you don't work for the Melech anymore. Zuyachas shel yira, v'keinema melech shemoichel ha-kvoida ein kvoida moilech, v'ein kvoida moichel, v'amerechas yachasize ein viturim klo. It's a relationship that's based on yira, and the Melech isn't able to be moichel on his covert. The halacha is melech shemoichel kfeida ein kfeida moichel. You can't be moichel in your kavod. A father can be moichel on certain aspects of his kavod from his children. He can let his children sit in his seat if he wants. He can't let his children call him by the first name if he wants. There are certain things that you can be moichel, things you can't be moichel. But a melech can't be moichel in his kavod. It's not his kavod. It's the kavod of the malchus. So if he wants an eved to be all paddy with him and sweet with him or whatever, he can't. You're not allowed to, because it's not the kavod we have for you, boss of a dog. The kavod we have is for your position. You can't be moichel your position. It's fairly understood. Sheine lechalotin hu hayachas shel av lebnoi. The father to a son.
Saying that
excellent point. There's two types of kings. The Malbim points this out in Megillas Esther. There's two types of kings. There's a king who's a king because he is a king. The king inherited the kingship. There's another king who's a hedger who became a melech. He conquered the malchus. Ahasuerus was a melech hedger. He had no royal blood. He had no entitlement to the throne. He captured the throne. He married correctly, whatever. He captured the it to throw, that's a melech hedyot. The big difference is between the two, nachi namas. Yeah, we're talking about a king in, we're talking about a king.
Even the king we've mentioned, yeah, could be a king who captured the throne.
Once he's captured the throne, you're right. Achashverosh could do what he wants because no one could tell him what to do. If he wanted to be moichel and he's covered, he'd be moichel and he's covered. We're talking about halacha. The halacha is he's not moichel and he's covered. The halacha is you can't eat cheeseburgers. Do people eat cheeseburgers?
Yeah.
But it says you can't. We're talking about the halacha. The halacha tells that the melech's not moichel or koide. Achashverosh was a melech hedit. He wanted a kingship with no hagbolas, no limitations. Because a king has limitations on him as well. If you're a legal king, then there's a whole rules, there's a whole law book on what a king can do and what he can't do. He can't own too many horses, he can't have too many wives, he can't go, yeah, he can't do this, he can't. There's rules and regulations that apply to the world. There's throughout the Sefer Torah, there's all, even in the Goyisha world, the king can't just do what he wants. He can't just walk into the treasury and take how much money he wants and leave. There's laws and regulations. A melech hedyet, a chashveirosh, somebody captures the kingship and do what he wants. He's not bound by the rules and regulations because he captured the kingship.
He makes the rules.
He makes the rules. There was a Chashverosh.
Doesn't change how we are supposed to relate.
No, not at all. You have to be more terrified of an Chashverosh who's a Melech Hedyot who wants a rulership with no Hagbolas because you never know what he's going to do. He's irrational. He's a despot as opposed to a king. Our problem is we have very negative connotations about kings and rulers and because of the nature of what we've been exposed to. When you hear the word king, you don't think, oh wow, Och Hashem, David HaMelech. What do you think about? You think about whatever, I don't know, Saddam Hussein and Idi Amin and you know, whatever, Assad, I'm just saying, Netanyahu, whatever people, we don't exactly you know, look up to and respect and are, you know, people who are totally there serving the community and their only interest is the embedment of the society and they have no personal vested interest and there's no corruption in that, because that's a Melech. We don't think like that. Same as when you walk about Avadim, when you think of the word Eved, yeah, what's the first thing that comes into mind with the other word Eved? Roots. Schwarzes in chains and ships being schlepped out of their banana plantations in America, whatever, and schlepped off to America and abused and treated terribly. And that's what you think of when you think of Eved. You don't think of a guy who, well, there's only two, because, okay, well, you better sleep on the bed because I'm on the floor then. You know, Donald Trump is an Eved and there's only one bed and Trump's on the floor and there's little 16-year-old Puerto Ricans on the bed. And we don't think about an Eved like that, but that's a Jewish concept of an Eved. We have connotations in our heads, it's very hard. No, we're talking about a pure Melech. A Melech who's Mamash a Melech. But the truth is it doesn't make any difference which Melech you're talking about here. You know that when it's a Melech and an Eved, everything we've said here is true, whether it's a legal Melech, not legal Melech.
Rav, you said a father cannot let his son call him by your name?
No.
Really? It's
no.
An halacha?
Yeah. It's one of the kibbut avayim.
Yeah, but the mitzvah is on the kid, not on the father.
The father can be moichel certain things in kibbut avayim. He can't be moichel calling him by his name. You can tell him if you want, you can sit in your chair. Friday night after the Suda, I'm on the couch, my kids want to sit in my chair. They ask me, Abba, can I sit in your chair? I usually let them. There's no reason not to. It's done to be whatever. They asked already. They have the children covered. So let them to a nice comfortable chairs, one of these, you know, these office chairs, whatever. It's, you know, whatever. They give me a special chair. So fine, so let them sit it like Patli. But they say to me, Abba, can I call you by your first name? It's Osser Legam. It's Isidraiser.
Do
you
have taken for that?
Do tshuva. Stop doing it and do tshuva. I have taken for everything. I used to call my parents by the first name when I was growing up as a kid. Everybody did.
Don't.
When I was growing up as a kid, everybody called their parents by their first name. When I became Frumer, I realized what a terrible error it was. I stopped calling them, thought I'd lost my mind.
Sure, I
thought I'd lost my mind.
Is there any situation where it would be okay if you
work
with a professional
advisor? Like, you have to ask Charles. I don't know. Go learn help with Kibbut Avayim and learn up the Sugi. Ask your Charles. I don't know. There's too many exceptions. The general clue is it's also to call your parents by their first name.
You're not putting it. You say Avi Mori.
No, you're saying Baruch Ben Moshe. You want to mention your father's name? Baruch Ben Moshe, yeah. It's like with COVID. The same way someone says, what's your mother's name? You're allowed to say, my mother's name is Chaim.
Yeah, but I.
You can't just say Chaim. You're allowed to say, my mother's name is. You can have dom it with some kind of COVID. Or my father's name is Reb Chaim or whatever. You have to mechaber it, but you can't just say, what's your mother's name? Sorrow. You're not allowed to do that. In fact, the
Gabbai is supposed to say Avi Mori, blah blah blah.
No, we don't say Avi.
No?
The Gabbai calls his father.
That's not what we say. That's not the meaning.
No?
Shimon ben Rab Yale Rav Shimon ben Rav Avram. He doesn't say if he's calling up his own father.
Yeah.
It's going to be his own father. He normally says Yale Avi Meir.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I thought you meant when he's calling you up. He has to say no. When he calls up himself, yeah. When he calls up his Rebbe, he's Rabbi Meir Rebbe. I'm not getting told the lochos of Kiva.
My father is Avram.
off the track here, off the subject here. You want to learn Kibbutz Avraham? Go learn Kibbutz Avraham. Now we're not learning Kibbutz Avraham. Now we're learning Boni Matem L'Shem Elokecha. Some people mock me not to write their father's names. There's some people that won't mention their father's name even after Misa. You have to know, there's a different in him, and well, like everything else in the Torah. There's, you know, there's halachas, there's chumras, there's ilyonim, there's nothing. What happens if you have a child named after your late father? So now when you call the child, you're calling your father's name afterwards.
I have a half-brother, same name as my father.
Yeah. My name is Mordechai, so on Purim it's a big nisoyin for my kids, not to mention. So there it's already mutif, it's a name that's already like Mordechai and it's in the Megillah or whatever, but that's Shalom Befonov. Befonov, even then it could be a Tosa. It's a whole big discussion about after Misa, the famous Vilna Goyin one. I had a share about this from Rafalk about 30 years ago. It's vague, you remember some of the subjects.
Well, Salam Elohim, what's been bothering me? Salam Elohim, whatever that is. Is that like a Yad, Hashem's Yad?
Give me a Nefesh Echad. Let's just kill one quick cockroach, quickly.
That's impossible.
No, that's called Kisveh Chofetz Chaim. It's also an important sefer.
All the way up top.
All the way at the top, Baruch.
Right in the middle.
No, that's in English, don't bring me that. On the left, Baruch, go down one shelf. There. No, the left. There, the middle one, yeah. Let's just kill this cockroach once and for all. And then set up a time to learn Nefesh HaChai. Because you have to learn it at some stage.
I didn't understand it.
No, you can't understand it. You have to learn it properly. You go through it, you'll understand what you can understand. With your permission, okay? Just so that we can... Because we're dealing with a subject here that is more misunderstood. Roy the Sefer is dealing with this subject. Let's just put one piece into place and then you'll decide if you want to take the next step. Kosev Bebreishis. This is how the Nefesh HaChaim starts. Ve'yibro elekim esadim betzalim ve'metzelim elekim boro oisim. Hashem was Yibro. Boro is always yesh mi'ayin. Esadim betzalim ve'metzelim elekim boro oisim. Hashem created man yesh mi'ayin. Betzelim betzalim elekim boro oisim. Ve'kein kosev ki betzelim elekim ose esadim. Osa is always making something from something that exists already. Clear definition of these words. Bora is yesh mi'ayin. Osa is taking something that exists and making something out of it. It's the final product, the finished product that you made from something that exists. Yaitse, to be yaitse something, is the process of making something from something that exists already. Osa is the final product. That's how you define those words. Now listen carefully to answer your question. Who hine oimek pnimius inyan atzelem? The depth and the inner wisdom of this thing called tzelem, who midvarim oim di berumah shel olam. These are things that stand at the height of the universe. V'kolel roiv sitre pnimius hazohar, and most of the hidden secrets of the Torah in the Zohar are on this particular subject. How much is that? How? Roiv Sisre Pnimius Hazoah. The majority of the secret hidden wisdom of the Zohar is on this subject, Tzelem Elokim. Yeah? You want to ask, you want me in like half an hour or an hour to answer like, so what is this Tzelem Elokim thing? It's Roiv Sisre Pnimius Hazoah. Amnam, don't get frightened. Amnam. Khan over here in the Nefesh HaChaim, which is a very esoteric sefer. Here we're going to explain Tzelem, not to feed the Zohar, even though in every chapter that he, paragraph he brings, he quotes 27 sources from the Zohar. And you have to go look up yourself and work it out yourself. You don't need to do that. But yeah, in this sefer, we're going to go according to the Pashtonim Arishonim. Al Posuk Nase Odom B'Tzalmeinu Kidmoseinu. Which means, The Shulchan Aruch of Ashkofu, which was at this sefer, is going to be dealing with pshat. What does it mean? Nas adam b'tzalmeinu kidmoseinu. Now you have to go and you have to learn it. You've got to learn what it is, but Tzelem Elokim. Until you know that, you don't know who you are, you don't know why you're living, and you don't know anything about your Yiddish life, I promise you.
That's comforting.
Until you understand this, you don't understand anything.
And who's the plural?
Huh?
See, I had enough problem with Tzelem, now it's plural.
What?
I had enough problem with Tzelem. Now it's plural.
What plural?
It's all
amazing. What does it mean, Tzelem Elokim? Who are the Pashtarim Arishonim? So I think he says here, oh no, it's not down here, I think it says it's the Rambam. According to the Rambam. I have to find time to learn the Sefer. It's a Ma'od Mot Chashuv. I'll just tell you very briefly, okay? Whatever these words mean, don't get stuck in the words. One small aspect of Tzelem Elokim is that everything in the world follows the shape of a human being. But that's not what the Nefesh Chaim's talking about. He's dealing with something much, much, much more fundamental to a lot. The way we conduct ourselves and the impact and the influence we have on the world. Which is the same way that Elokim impacts and affects the world, we do the same. That's what it's saying. It's not based on the way we look and the way we, you know, like... He says... If you want to see that once we really just fall off the subject, you're not going to be... Like,
everything in the world follows
the body. The shape. That's what I said. Just the other words followed away. When the Torah talks about Hashem's eyes, when the Shorah talks about the heel of Mashiach, it's following the form. Time follows the shape of a human body. You understand what that means? I'm just saying that there's one aspect of Tzelem Elokim is that everything, even at the most cellular level, the most genetic level, everything's following the basic form of human being. There's a very deep reason for that. Let's just read these words here. Maybe they'll just open up more curiosity. The word tselem v'dmus. Tselem means image. Dmus means similarity. I don't exactly know how you get there. Doesn't mean what it normally means. Kikosav mefurush u'ma dmus tarcholei. So Mefurish a Pasuk in Yeshaya, and what form can you attribute to Hashem? Hashem has no form. Ela pirushoi dimyon ma ba'ezadov. What does it mean, Betzelem? We are similar to him in some aspect. Kamoi, it says in Tehillim, demisi likat midbar. David HaMelech says, I am like this desert bird. Demisi likat midbar. I am similar to this, desert bird. So what happened? David HaMelech grew a beard and a beak and wings and feathers. Chas v'chalila, lo nishtana tzuros ala tzuros hakat. His shape didn't become. He didn't say that he started looking like a bird. Rak. So what was David HaMelech saying? Dimi silikat mibayim, like this desert bird. It's a likat. It's a certain bird that lives in the desert. Rak shenadame az b'mikre puloisav shayanov anod. At that stage in David HaMelech's life, he wasn't sitting in the same place for too long. He was a fugitive. He was running away. So he said, "I'm like this desert bird." What do you mean? You look like a bird now? No, this desert bird never sleeps in the same place twice. He's nav and nod. He always sleeps in a different place. So David HaMelech said, in metaphorical terms, "I am like this desert bird because I'm also not sleeping in the same place more than once." As b'mikra b'pu'loisav shehaya nav and nod. It's a dimion to some aspect of this thing. When we say we created Betzelem Elokim, it means we have some aspect of similarity to what's called Elokim. Now we have to go see what that is. Now it goes on and explains what aspect of Elokim we understand. And then he asks a very powerful kasha, which nobody ever asked. What happened to Hashem here? always Betzelem Elokim. I don't want Betzelem Elokim. I want to be Betzelem Yudkei Vavkei. Never, ever, ever see Yudkei Vavkei anywhere in the same world as the word Tzelem. Why not? Why Dafka the name Elokim? Why we not Betzelem Shakai, Betzelem Yudkei Vavkei, Betzelem Tzavokai? It's many shames of Hashem. It's Dafka Tzelem Elokim. What's unique about Elokim? Then he defines Elokim. Slowly, slowly just builds a sugya here. Shulchan Aruch defines it. Every time you say Elokeinu v'Elokeinu, the Shulchan Aruch tells you what Kavani you have there. What is this thing Elokeinu? It's a foolish halacha. What Kavanis you have there? When you think about Yudkei Vavkei, when you think about Elokim, you have to have Kavanis. Elokim is Loshen Balak Koiches Kula. Yudkei Vavkei is Hoya Hoya Hoya. Kavanis you have to have. I'm not sure how a Jew can grow up and become more mature and not be stay a child without having some of this. I just don't know how it's possible. And in terms of your Yiddishkeit, I'm not saying you can't mature in other areas. There are many areas you can stretch yourself and become more mature, whatever, but in terms of your relationship with Hashem, in terms of understanding what your mission in this world is, in terms of understanding what it means to be a Jew, what is a Jew, I don't understand how you can do it without this. A lot of it's in here. The Sefer is based heavily on that. And other sources which are similar. You could probably do the same thing for the Tanya. Rabbi Tetz told me, Rabbi Tetz is a master of Nefesh HaChayim. Mamash a master. I was zoche to learn with him many, many times Nefesh HaChayim.
With
who? Rabbi Tetz. And he told me that he once, whatever, he was in South Africa, he was staying in a certain town, whatever, and I think it's where his wife came from. There was a Chabad rabbi in the town. So he learned Tanya with a Chabad rabbi. He said he saw no Chidushim in the Tanya that he hadn't seen in Nefesh HaChayim. So understood from that you can get the same thing from the Bala Tanya. If you have a Rebbe who knows what he's doing, I'm talking about someone who knows what he's doing. I'm not somebody who, Tanya Yoim, whatever. I'm not serious. You could probably get it from there, from the Marals, I mean, there are many, whatever. But this is very nice. It's compact, it's tart, it's amazing. It's amazing. Laugh off. Balls in your court.
Can I ask a different question? The Rosh Hashim was teaching last year before Rosh Hashanah about how you're supposed to flip this time and focus on one thing. You know, because we go through, we do this, we do that, we do that, that. We know it's like, you focus on one thing and then you're putter from everything else.
That's after Rosh Hashanah. That's Yom Kippur. That's the void of tshuva and kabbalas. The tshuva of Rosh Hashanah is very different. It's more than just Mamlich Hashem. It's a bit of Shoseichem. I'll do it tomorrow, Mitzvah Hashem. I was going to do it, but I forget. I left the Seichem.
What was that source?
It
said that you focus on one thing and
then
you're
potter
from everything else.
No, I don't potter from everything else. It was a tziruf of two Torahs. The one was Rav Yisrael Salanta. We said that a person should only take on one thing, only work on one thing. That heard from Rav Simcha Wasserman Zatzal as well. Mitztaruf with Rav Nissen Karelitz is kasha on how you makayim the mitzvah of tshuva if you don't have a ziva sachet and kabbalah lahaba on all the things you're doing tshuva for. When you go through the alchets, there's 44 al-chayt, there's all the shambu, badadmus, whatever, you're clapping al-chayt, you're doing tshuva. Tshuva has four requirements. Vidu bepe, you've got to tell Hashem. Charota, velo shavalanu. Not the charota that brings you depression, just the latsa, maybe 30 seconds of guilt, and a velo shavalanu. Recognizing she's a lo shaveli. That's enough charota, whatever. If you're a real human being, you can have a lot of charota if you're still besimcha. Check your simcha levels out. You have to have charota besimcha. So it's not so posh. The third one is a ziva sachet. You have to remove yourself from the chet completely. And the fourth one is
Kabbalah
Lasi. But you've got a problem now. You're doing 200,000 things. Right? Rizal Salanta told you only allowed to have a Kabbalah for one. For the other 9,999 things, you don't have a Kabbalah. And you certainly don't have a ziva sachet. Ziva sachet's less of a problem because right now I'm a ziva sachet. On Yom Kippur, I'm not doing all those chatoyim. Tomorrow I'll do them, but I'm not talking about tomorrow. Hashem doesn't say, I'm looking into the future. He says, I'm looking at you now. He said, okay. As if it's a chet's a problem, it's an easy one. What about Kabbalah? You have no Kabbalah lahaba. No Kabbalah lahaba. All these are very easy things, except the one little Kabbalah you took on. You know, the Lashon Hara ones, you know, you're taking the body, not going to speak Lashon Hara from 3 to 5 in the morning. So I told that to a teenager once, she said, that's prime time, man. The teenagers, when are they speaking Lashon Hara from 3 to 5 in the morning? That's prime time. Okay, so fine. So from 11 till 1 in the morning, they're sleeping. So it's taking the 3 hours. I'm just saying, you're taking a Kabbalah. So it's got to be... There's three categories of things. There's things that are impossible that we're never going to do. That's usually where we take our Kabbalahs from. The things that we know we impossibly we can't do them, but we really want to. Then there are things that are very, very hard, but we can do them. And then there are things that are pretty easy. When you're starting out in this game, choose your Kabbalah from something that's very easy. Choose something that's easy. Most of us take our Kabbalahs on from the thing that we know we can't do, that's impossible. That's why we always fail. You have to take on a Kabbalah that you know you can keep. But if Yosef Binyan and Pinkas told, if you take on a Kabbalah, and after a while it's not working, go over, look, you probably took up too much. My Rav told me, he said, work out what your Kabbalah is, cut it down to the bare minimum you can get away with, and when you're happy with it and everything's in place, chop it in half. How that works needs to be understood, because what I've just told you now, your Yetzer is not going to let you do, because it sounds like a cop-out. I did 1,000 serious Aveiras, yeah? And the Kabbalah for one is going to be the Kabbalah for all of them, and I'm going to have tshuva for all of them because I took on my one Kabbalah, and now all the other Aveiras go down the drain. That sounds like a cop-out, and you're not going to believe it, and if you're not going to buy into it, you won't do it. You need to understand how it works. I'll be looking at it tomorrow. How it is and what you need to do in order for that to happen. But if you do that, I can guarantee you your life will change. And know what happens as well is some of the things that you've been struggling with for years suddenly disappear. They're just stopping problems. Because you've done tshuva on them. But I didn't tshuva on them. They weren't even on my radar screen. And those are the things that were way, way out of my range. And I keep tripping up in them and I've tried to change and I've done 50 Kabbalahs and penitences and fast and rolled in the snow. And it just doesn't work. I just keep slipping back. You know, the drug of choice, you know, the thing you're addicted to, you just keep slipping back. And suddenly you take on, you can learn Hilchos Lashon Hara for 5 minutes. That's your Kabbalah, right? You're a big Baal Lashon Hara, you can't stop speaking about other people. So you take on to learn Hilchos, let's say, Lashon Hara 5 minutes a day, after Recha Kamoicha, that's a good way to get rid of Lashon Hara. Don't focus on Lashon Hara. Focus on loving Jews. You don't speak badly about people you love. Probably the best way. Rav Pam once told a group of Bokrim that were working on Lashon Hara, you know, really working with intensity on not speaking Lashon Hara and not having much success. Rav Pam said to them, why don't you increase your Avos Hashem? Huh? What's it got to do with Lashon Hara? Well, if you love somebody, you don't generally speak badly about them, do you? Sometimes hitting the thing head on doesn't work either. That takes wisdom. But let's say you're not going to work on Avos, you're going to work on Lashon Hara. So taking on not to speak Lashon Hara from 3 to 5, I've never seen work too much. Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, I don't know. What does work is learning Hilchos Lashon Hara. Spend 5 minutes a day learning two halachas of Shmiras HaLashon or one halacha of Shmiras HaLashon. That'll get you to speak a heck of a lot less Lashon Hara than taking on not to speak Lashon Hara from 3 to 5. Guarantee you. Baduk, Umanusa, everything. Whether it's Gneiva, learn Hilchos Gneiva. Don't tie your hands behind your back when you go to the Makolet. Learn the lochas, you'll see. Rabbi Sol Salanter says it as well. You'll see it'll change you much quicker than the Kabbalahs. I'm not saying you shouldn't take on other Kabbalahs. I'm not saying it should only be this. It's just an Eitzah Tova that works. But you'll see when you do that, you'll take on Lashon Hara. You'll make that your thing you're going to work on this year, and you do it, whatever. And you stick to it. You stick to it. First of all, you come to next year Yom Kippur feeling like a success. Every year we come to Yom Kippur, we feel terrible. Because you know you failed, and you know you're standing up lying again. Okay, check it out. I'm never going to do this again, Hashem. I'm not going to do this, Hashem. You know you're lying. You're lying and you know it. It's a terrible feeling. How many years can you do this year after year after year without eventually just saying, Atazov, I can't anymore. And then a Kalabach medium, you play the guitar and you have a nice time on your kippur and you dance. That's what happened. Am I the only one that knows what I'm talking about here?
Yes.
You come to Yom Kippur after a year where you took on this one little 3 minute thing and you kept it. That didn't mean 100%. There were days you did it, the days you didn't do it. But at the end of the year, you look back, you go, wow, actually, what? Yeah. It's a whole different experience. Yom Kippur is different. But you'll see as well other things that were on your list and have been on your list for years. Suddenly this year just weren't problems. Even though I wasn't working on them, but they're still running in the back of your awareness. You're still aware that these things are not good. suddenly one or two things that get harder for them just like goes away. Like you just don't have a taiva for cigarettes anymore. You just like whatever, you just lose the taste for that avera. How did that happen? Because you did tshuva. I did tshuva, I wasn't even working on that. Yes, you were. This Kabbalah that you took on for the 5 minutes and whatever, that works on all of them. Now this is not a shkoffer, this is mafurish in Rav Nissen Karelitz's Hilchos Losh Hashanah Sefer. That's why I like it. Because that's the biggest Chazanishnik, that's the, you know, he is the Poisek Ador today, and he is the Chazanishnik, and he's the Frum guy and whatever. And he says it's mafurish in Halacha. We'll look at it tomorrow inside. It's a big chizuk seeing it inside. If you tell me this is the Maral, you tell me this is Kabbalistic stuff, whatever, the Yetzer is not going to let you buy into it. But you said it with Nissen Sefer? It's Paskin Halacha. Psak Halacha. I used to go to the Rav of Tifrach every year, 10 times, I drive him mad.
What?
The Rav of Tifrach.
Yeah.
Oh, he's a poisek. I got him every year. Now I'm getting a bit bad, I'm starting to believe it a little bit. Just tell me again, it's Psak Halacha, one small Kabbalah, and I don't have to worry, about all, I'm doing what I'm doing, we haven't spoken about it, we've got to speak about it tomorrow. Psak, I'm not interested in Ashka, I want a Psak Halacha from the Rav. That's cool. Yes, sure. Go away already. I've told you 50 times. Next time I'm back again. Because your Yetzer who drives you mad. He understood. He was fine. The Yetzer is not going to let you do this. That's how I understood that it must be right. Because if this is just some kind of a joke and it's a cop-out, why is the Yetzer so bothered by this? Let her think that he's doing tshuva by doing this little Mickey Mouse antic, yeah? Yeah? And I've got him. Because he's not going to do tshuva. He's going to go through the whole of Yom Kippur having not done tshuva. He thinks he's doing tshuva because he took on this little 5 minute trick of his. So why is he fighting me not to do it? If it wasn't worth anything, the Yetzer wouldn't bother me. He'd just let me fall on my face. Why is he fighting so hard to get me not to do this? That's when I realized that there's something going on here. Back to the Rav. Again, your Yetzer is getting to you, he says to me. Is this your Yetzer? Psak halacha, yes. Remind me tomorrow, Mitzvah, we'll look at this inside. You see it inside, it's much more. Okay, so tomorrow we're having a halacha shiur. Once again, it's much more relevant to after Rosh Hashanah. This has nothing to do with Rosh Hashanah. But you should do tshuva. You should do tshuva before Rosh Hashanah as well. However hard that is, it's much easier to do tshuva after Rosh Hashanah. And Mitzvah Hashem, I have to just remember to bring the sefer. There's another piece we need to look at, and that's what's the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah. I'll raise the question. Mitzvah Hashem, we'll try and deal with it tomorrow. This is a very big question. Many, many unfortunately deal with this. Rosh Hashanah is, after all, the first two days of the Seara Mei Tshuva. The days we have to do tshuva. But we know that it's also, or certainly not advisable on Rosh Hashanah, to do what's called normal tshuva. We don't do vidui, we don't do charata, we don't do aziva sachet, we don't do kabbalas. That's not the work of Rosh Hashanah. So where's the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah? What is the nature of the tshuva of Rosh Hashanah? That's very important to know. Very, very important to know that. Otherwise, you don't know what you're doing on Rosh Hashanah. Rabbi Mamlich Hashem! Ah, okay. I went to Rav Kaplan Shir, and I'm going to say the psukim. At least I know what's going on in the psukim now. And a Mamlich Hashem. Come on. How are you Mamlich Hashem? By reading the Bill of Rights? You've got to keep the Bill of Rights to be Mamlich Hashem. You've got to agree to at least buy into what it means that Hashem is the king. He's ruling over me. You have to allow him to rule over you. To coronate him. To place him over you as a ruler, to make him your king. You know how you would mamlich. It's the
coronate.
To coronate is to make him the king. To mamlich is to allow him to be my king. Coronate to the king, you're the king. To mamlich is to coronate him, to coronate him over you. So that we have to understand, where's there the tshuva in that? What tshuva is that involved in? It's such a look at that tomorrow. Then someone phone me and remind me or something tomorrow. To send me a carrier pigeon, or SMS, or WhatsApp, an email, I don't mind. Just someone, you wouldn't mind if I can ask someone just to remind me. Because I don't have a copy of it yet. It's been only books Smiles doesn't have.
Don't tell him.
I'm going to tell him, I want the whole series yet. Why shouldn't we have the series? 15 in the series. Very essential words. All right.
He'll buy it with a smile.
Yalla, we've got to learn Gemara. That's the Ikka Tshuva. Open the Gemara. Then you better keep it in mind. Okay. Let's ask him tomorrow with you there.
1 minute.
Yo.
Can I tell you something? May I tell you something?